This recording, Italy 8, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Hamilton, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
Aren't you?
But the fact is that I think that it's important to think about who these people are beyond a simple stereotype, to reduce them to one dimension. A lot of people who define themselves in opposition to these things easily reduce what they're opposed to one dimension and see it as a sign of the negative or just of hate. And that's a part of the story, but you're also forced to recognize that all of these groups that you can define outside of yourself as your opposite, they can become the object of hatred and fear. They're more complex than that. It's important to see these right-wing people, Christian fundamentalists, etc., etc., as a more complex reality than what they appear to be. Because then you run the risk of replicating exactly their thought process, which is to reduce everybody else to one dimension as external object, object of fear, object of hate. The problem with the ideology of this right-wing world is exactly its capacity to reduce things to a simple dimension, I think. And so it's important to not replicate that, but to see these people as human beings.